Everybody say the seed principle. Seed principle. Good to see everybody. I kind of feel like, remember how Pastor Pauline used to get up and then she would talk to the audience and say, oh, good to see you, good to see you. Good to have Ricky and Nicole with us and some other sons are here today. It was interesting that I had this message about a month ago, and I really felt that Pastor Jeff was supposed to give his message about at the feet of Jesus. And now today I kind of understand why that happened. Okay, if you could pull a little bit of mids out of my mic, that'd be great. In Genesis 1, I was reading this in the New Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible. I was using Kat's Bible. I have one too. If you're looking for a really good study Bible, we have them in the bookstore. It's the New King James New Spirit. It's New King James Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible. Any of you have that Bible? Do you have that Bible? Oh, I see some. Oh, Linda's holding it up. She's the lady who's in charge of the bookstore is holding up her Bible. Yeah, we have. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal study Bible. And in Genesis chapter 1, in that Bible, the pericope, that's the title above the words, said the history of creation. And in Genesis 1, it starts out, God says, let there be light, and it was good. And then it says that God divided the light from darkness. He called the light day, the darkness night. God divides the waters from the waters. He calls the firmament heaven. Dry land appears. God gathers all the waters together in one place. And something that I discovered in reading this text was from verse 1 to verse 10, there's no mention of living organisms. Nothing is created that was intended to reproduce itself. He set the stage for all that. Now we come to verse 11. And read with me. This is in New King James. Read with me. Go. Then God said, oh, wait. Everybody clear your throat. Everybody ready? Okay, here we go. Ooh, that was a big clear. Who was that? Was that you, Greg? Of course it was Greg. Okay, here, let's read verse 11. Go. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Say that part again. Whose seed is in itself. Read, on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seeds according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit. Read, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree, we're whispering, read, whose fruit yields seed to you, so it shall be for food. Also every beast, read with me, on the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Somebody say the seed principle. Okay. Why did God stop or cease from working on the seventh day? You realize it, I don't know, we know this. It wasn't because he was tired, right? But because God commanded the earth with its reproductive power to bring forth the plant kingdom according to its kind. God's law of genetics were impressed upon the plant kingdom. He made everything from that point on seed-bearing. Everybody say seed-bearing. Okay? Nothing would ever need to be created, nor would it be created after day six, because God put within every living thing, including humans, the ability to multiply and reproduce because of something called a seed. Somebody say multiplication. Everything was seed bearing. So he knew, God knew in his omniscience that if he created everything seed bearing, he wouldn't have to create anything ever again. Everything you know, somebody said, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Have you ever heard that? They act like it's a debate. But eggs don't reproduce eggs. Chickens reproduce eggs. So the chicken was the seed-bearing creature that reproduces the chickens, right? Okay? If something needs to continue, there must be a seed. Nothing continues without seeds. It's a principle of multiplication. No multiplication without the seed principle. Some of you might not even know this if you've been around Taylor. And how many of you were here during Taylor Street? Raise your hand. Okay, all the Taylor Street people are sitting on that side of the room. Okay. Who knows, remember what the logo was? You remember what our logo was? It was a little church, right? A little church symbol. And it had a little seedling in the middle of it. I think we still have it on one of the original sign that was on 46, pointing up to Taylor. It was a seed, okay? When Pastor Don and Pauline came here, they planted a seed. It was really small. Seeds are small. Even if you look at like a pumpkin seed or something, in reference to what they produce, it's really small. I remember Pastor Don saying, I think they were in Karachi, Pakistan. You know, Pastor Don and Pauline were the heads of the CIA for the United States in Karachi, Pakistan. God called them to go to New Waterford. And they said, where is that? We need to find out where that is. They found out it was in Northeast Ohio. This is a true story. They came here, and Pastor Don looked at Pauline, and he goes, this can't be right. There's nothing here. At least we have a red light, right? We have a red light. If you go past the red light, you pass our church. But they started and they planted a seed on a farm, on the Conkle Dairy Farm on Heisey Road with six people, Bible study, and then it turned into 20 people, 30 people. I think it got up to 50 people, and Linda Conkle, who is Keith Conkle's wife, said, honey, I don't know how to say this, but there's way too many people to be meeting in our living room here. We need to do something. So they decided to put it out on the front porch. And they'd wheel out their old upright piano. They had an organ in the house. And I have a picture that I'm going to add to the collage out there. Everybody sat in lawn chairs out in the grass. And it started to expand. Then they realized there were too many people for that. So that seed began to grow, and then we acquired a building on Taylor. If you've never been on Taylor, drive up Taylor. It's an apartment complex now. We sold it, Jim. That's where it grew. That's where I started. I wasn't on the farm. I came. I remember Sunday morning services with about probably 30 people, 40, 50, maybe not more than 50, I don't think. And never forget the first time Pastor Pauline made me get up and play the piano. She said, Mark Plagey's here today, and he's going to play a song for you. And I thought, oh, no, he's not. I did. I was 13 and a half at that time. And I went, what am I doing? And so that we did it. The church grew, and then it was prophesied in a prophecy that somebody saw a cornfield, right? And that there were people coming up a hill. Was that Kim Blake? Was that Kim Blake? Right. Oh, yeah, right. They had the vision of that. And that people were going to be, thousands of people were going to come up a hill to a cornfield. And Mr. Belichick, who had, I think he's Bill's cousin or something, relative, had property, which, do you realize what you're sitting in the middle of right now? Cornfield. Up on a hill. Did you have to drive up to get to here? You went up the hill. Here it is. And look at this. Interesting that in the cornfield is all these kernels of corn, right? And it grew. Then it expanded to the chapel. How many of you were in services in the chapel where at
For concert nights, they call them worship nights now. They get a little more spiritual. But how many of you were in a concert night ever? Raise your hand. How many of you came an hour early to a concert night just to get a seat? Because if you didn't come at 6 o'clock, you couldn't even get in the building, right? I didn't like that because we were rehearsing, and I didn't want people in there. And then we eventually said, hey, let them go. And sometimes the rehearsals turned into worship services, and the seed began to germinate and grow and grow. And then now, if you look around you, you are seeing the fruit of the labor of people planting seeds. God calls us to be seed planters, right? And we're all part of that. If something's to continue, there has to be a seed. Seed means a starting point. It means the beginning. Seeds mean future. There's no future without a seed. We were talking in a meeting, I think it was Pastor Shane or someone said, do you realize we could, and it's funny that you use this word, we could plant other churches and have worship teams to fit. We have enough worship teams. There's some people don't even have a piano player, you know. That's what it's called in some of those churches, piano player. They don't have a piano player. We got all these musicians and stuff. How'd that happen? Pastor Jeff and I and Pastor Don, we all got this concept early. Do you realize we have never, not that it's wrong, not that we'd never do it, but it's just, we just don't do it. We don't bring people in from outside to fulfill positions. We have a phrase, you know what it says? We grow our own. Say that. We grow our own. That little kid that I was supposed to beat if he did something wrong and he threw his car up on the platform. Is Josh in here? Oops, sorry, brother. I owe you $10 for... If you crack on somebody during your message, you owe them money. Pastor Shane, you still owe Emma $20 from last week saying that she didn't cook you 3 meals. I took notes on that. I don't remember any scriptures you said, but I remember that. Why I did that to him, because I preached a phenomenal message once when he was first here, and I talked about the rapture, and I said, how is it that the whole world's going to see it in a moment? I said, something can happen in East Africa, and we know it within minutes because it's reported on the news. And I said, so when that rapture happens, CNN will be here to report it. He didn't remember any scripture I said in that phenomenal message. He said that part about CNN being here after we're out of here. That was really good. He said, so had to. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? There's no future without a seed. Say that. There's no harvest in any area, spiritually or physically, without the seed principle. It's a very profound principle. Everything works through the seed principle. Love is a seed. If you love people, you're sowing a seed. Even if the person you're loving is not so loving, either prior to you planting the seed or after that, you're planting that seed. And after you plant the seed, something will change. Let's look. Luke 6 says it like this. But I say to you who hear, are you hearing this morning? Say, I'm hearing. So he's saying that he's talking to you. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and say the next part with me. Your reward will be great. Say that again. Your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. Your reward will be great. Why? It's the seed principle put into practice. When you plant a seed, that which was given to you by God, love in this case, you plant it and the multiplication factor begins to burst forth. Now, I'll tell you this, and I know we're online. They're probably not watching me. I have lots of spiritual sons all over the world, literally. I have some, this isn't Ricky, you're not in this category, Ricky, but I have some knucklehead sons right now that are saying some knucklehead stuff online about things, especially Charlie Kirk stuff and all that. And I have to speak truth.
I don't care what kind of lies they're saying. Pastor Jeff and I said this. He commented on some stuff on Facebook. Sometimes Kat goes, Mark, you're a pastor. You better watch what you say. Yep, I'm watching what I'm saying. I'm saying truth no matter what, because where those seeds of lies have been trying to impregnate people's ideologies and inside of them, no, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That's the word of God, right? Aren't you glad you know the truth this morning? Can we give him a praise for truth? And I believe in this season, especially in this house, I don't know about other houses. I can't talk about other houses. I can talk about this house because this is the house where I'm at. Is there's two parts to the word. What's the word for the year? Right now, it's in full roar mode. There's no whispering in this season. There's a time to whisper. There's a time to roar. It's time for you to, you know, words are seeds. And you can plant, you know, thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. And habits define your character. And your character determines your destiny. So you got to watch what, everything starts with a thought. God thought, and then he said. He thought it, then he said, then something manifested, okay? There are a lot of wrong, you know, the scripture says this, it says it like this. It says that Satan is the father of lies. The father is the impregnator. The father is the one who carries the seed. Why do you think Satan has the world in such an uproar with men and sexuality and not knowing him? Oh, I think I'm a woman. If I went to my wife and said, I think I'm a woman, she has a cast iron skillet in the oven that she bakes with, and she would take that thing and go, let me, my mom used to say it. She said, I'm about to knock some sense into you, boy. My mom would say that as, look, you get those Italian moms, I'll show you what's true and what's not. No, Mom, I believe it. But there is truth that has to be, we have to impregnate, we have to take seeds of truth. Go like this. Go like this. If you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You can be rebellious. I don't care. Say, Lord, in my hand, I hold seeds. Help me to plant them to whoever needs it. Wherever it needs to go, here am I, Lord. Send me. Okay? So he's given us seeds, right? And if Satan is the father, that's the impregnator. He's the one who wants to inject lies into people's minds, okay? Because what happens when a seed is planted, good or bad? It grows. There's wheat and there's tares. They both came from seeds. I'd like to suggest the tares and things like that came after the fall of the curse, when it was cursed, when the ground was cursed. You know, roses never had thorns till the curse, right? So we are commanded by God to go into all the world and teach all nations, teaching them whatsoever I've commanded you, by planting seeds. Everybody say the seed principle. Okay, if I plant one kernel of corn, and there's some farmers in this room that could preach this part of the message for me, what could I be rewarded with? This is what it said. Check this out. It says, a single kernel of corn can produce an entire ear of corn with hundreds of kernels, on average around 800 kernels, although the range can be from 500 to over 1,200. How many did I put into the ground? One. Uno for the Spanish-speaking crowd. One seed. Somebody say seed principle. It only takes one seed. It only takes one seed. Everything is a product or byproduct of a seed. You are the product of a seed. There's a principle or law of sowing and reaping. If you cooperate with the law, it will work for you. If you go against it,
it'll work against you. Galatians 6, 7, 9 says it like this. Read it with me, because my voice is a little thin today. Read, go. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, read, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, everybody say due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You are in due season right now. The church is in due season. The harvest is so huge right now, okay? But there's even things that haven't been planted yet that God has given you the seed to plant in your job, when you're going to the grocery store, when you're walking in your neighborhood, to those neighbors that you don't like, that you don't talk to. There's some seed to those family members that you think, oh no, Thanksgiving's coming, Aunt Lulu Bell is going to be there, and I don't want to talk to Aunt Lulu Bell. Oh no, God has some seed in you. Yeah, I know. You can't base it on what has been. You have to base it on what God's calling you to do. He's called us to plant seeds of righteousness in a wicked world. Our mandate, and hear me, is not to go, oh man, it's getting worse and worse. Oh, it's only going to... That's the truth. It's not going to get better as a whole. What will get better is when you and I go into all the world and teach all nations, teaching them whatsoever Jesus commanded us. What he told us, we tell them. That's the seed principle. He plants the seed in us, okay? Pastor Jeff, when he was praying today, he said, thank you for the deposits that you're putting in people. He doesn't put a deposit in you that is not designed to just be the deposit, but everything he deposits in you has something called interest. And so when he deposits it in you, it's not just for you. I remember being in church, and some of you remember this. I mean, Bambi was kind of in our circles, and some of you were in that circle that we were in. Your goal was to get saved, get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, get water baptized, and sit on the shelf till Jesus came and pray that you didn't mess up or you didn't do one thing wrong because God had this finger ready to flick you off the thing. And you know, I was talking to one of my knuckleheads, and I said to him, Mr. Knucklehead, I said, I hear what you're saying. How many people have you led to Jesus? Yeah, because he's saying some really nasty stuff about Charlie Kirk. I said, well, forget all the nasty. Everybody has nasty stuff. I said, if I want to, you know, I know your past. I could post some stuff online about you. You wouldn't like that. You'd shut me down. I said, how many people have you led to Jesus Christ? That's what matters. Only what you do for Christ will last. The grass withers, flower fades, but the word of God, what God said to do and what he says will be, it's eternal. Okay, right? Are you with me? Let me turn into Pastor Ben. Are you breathing? Okay. So here's the question at hand. What are you sowing? What seeds are you planting? When you plant seeds and reproduce in others that which God has entrusted to you, the multiplication factor comes into play. And when you're dead and gone, they won't speak about your success. They'll speak about your legacy. We don't talk about how successful Pastor Don and Pauline were. Right? They gave up. You know, they had like what? Josh would know this better than me. I think they had 6, 7, 8 servants. You know, they cooked, they cleaned, they drove them around. They were government officials. They gave up all that. Had to die, so to speak. You know, there's part of the seed principle is you got to die. That seed goes in the ground, it dies. And when it dies, it's technically not dead. It's actually, the life is actually coming forth in it, right? But we talk about their legacy. You are part of the founding pastor's legacy. You know why? Where's Pastor Don? He's in the ground, literally. Not being disrespectful, it's true. Unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it doesn't produce fruit. There's more people and more things happening at Abundant Life than ever happened in his lifetime. Why? It's a legacy. You're part of that. Okay? Right? Words are spirit. What you say is a seed. What you talk about is a seed. What's the kid song? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Boom, boom. Oh, be careful. I like the boom, boom part. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Boom, boom, right? You clapped. I heard somebody clap. You know the song. You are sowing seeds in the realm of the spirit when you talk. If you talk things that are not positive, not are in the word, you're sowing seeds into the realm of the spirit, and they will manifest a harvest for you, good or bad. All natural principles are an indication of a spiritual principle. Corinthians says, first the natural, then that which is spiritual. So if you keep telling your child that they're no good, they're useless, they should be afraid, don't do that, you'll never do that, or we try to inject ungodly principles and ideologies in our children, you're destroying that child emotionally through the things you're saying. You should be speaking things like, you're an intelligent child. You are valuable. You have a great future ahead of you. You're a good kid. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Why is that? Because words are seeds. And when you speak words, you're planting something. If you don't believe it, start an argument with somebody. Plant that seed and see what grows of it. Well, what are you doing? Why are you so mean? Why you got to be mean all the time? I'm words. That's words. I'm planting seeds. You reap what you sow. Say that. You reap. You might think, I know this. I know this stuff. Oh, you know it. Are you doing it? You can say you know it, but are you actually doing it? It's one thing to know a thing. It's another thing to do it. Don't just be hearers of the word. Be a doer. Are you a doer this morning? Are you a sower? On a side note, I believe there's an impregnation in this house of spiritual fathers and mothers being birthed. The seed that's in me, I prophetically implant that to you. If that's you and God's been nudging you in that direction right now, there it is. There are spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers being raised up in this house. This morning, that seed is really starting to take birth in you. Spiritual fathers and mothers don't reproduce spiritual sons and daughters. Spiritual fathers and mothers reproduce spiritual fathers and mothers. Amen. If that's you, receive that. If that's you, you've been feeling like, man, I'm all these people are coming up to me, you know. They need you to plant seeds in them, because then that seed will grow. And then what will happen? When you're dead and gone, they're going to be spiritual fathers and mothers that come after you. Somebody say legacy. See, people are not celebrated because of what they received. They're celebrated because of what they gave. Never do you hear somebody say, let's celebrate Brother Joe because he's worth $55 billion. Let's all clap. I keep my clap to myself. If they say, you know, this guy was a multi-billionaire. He died poor. He built orphanages in South Africa. He built schools. He built hospitals. He gave oh, now you celebrate. You're not celebrated because of what you keep. You're celebrated by what you give away. What are we called to give away? We're called to plant seeds. Use the seed principle. So what's in me, I give to you. There are two kinds of people. Givers and takers. What are you? Don't answer that yet. Don't look at somebody sitting next to you and go, "Are you a? I knew you were a taker." I just don't do that. Song says it like this: "I give myself away." Say it. "I give myself away." Why? "So you can use me." Say, "I give myself away. I give myself away." One more time. "I give myself away so you can use." Say it again with harmony. Say, "I give myself away. I give myself away." One more time. "I give myself away so you can use me." When you plant seeds, you're giving what's in you away to somebody else. I think that's why we like Christmas so much. I just thought of that. You don't go, you know, did you ever go to your family's Christmas day? You say, "Okay, would you get me? Would you get me? I'm here to get my present. Would you get me? Would you get me?" Okay, he doesn't watch our live stream, so I can say it. I have a family member who rhymes with my nephew. And Kat's going, I don't know if she's telling me not to say it or if she's going, "Jesus, Jesus, help the man, Jesus." And he would always call me, and he'd leave a voicemail on our home phone. He'd go, "Uncle Mark, are we coming over for Christmas?" I said, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about the food. You know what he wants? The present. And you know how I know that? I intentionally one year held his back. Everybody else got their presents. Everybody else got their presents. Even my brother, who's his father, I held it back. I set him up, and he fell in the trap. "Did you get me anything, Uncle Mark?" Okay, you know. The last thing somebody says before they hang up the phone or they leave your house is probably the real reason they showed up, you know. So I said, of course I did. But, you know, givers and takers, right? Giving's a seed. The scripture says your tithe, everybody say tithe. How much is that? That's 10%, right? That's off the top. 10's a biblical number. You give him 10, you keep 90. That's a biblical principle. I'm sowing. When you give your tithe to the church out in that box out there, you drop it in, you are sowing seed. People who sowed that seed 20, 30, 40 years ago did it not knowing that you would be a byproduct of that seed. You don't know what you're going to get from the seeds that you plant. Don't plant a seed and try to dictate, whether it's money or talking or whatever, don't try to dictate how God uses what you plant. It, scripture says what? Paul planted, Apollo watered, but what happens? It's the Lord who causes the increase. It's not by might, not by power, it's by his spirit. Don't plant seeds, you know. I was going to bring this illustration because, you know, I like illustrations. And I was going to have this big pot that we have in our house. And I was going to plant a seed in it. So just pretend I'm doing that. I plant it, pack it down, put a little water, and I go, "Come on, go. God, you told me to plant a seed. And if I plant a seed, I'd get a harvest." I don't think this works. Okay, don't let it's a spirit that happens where we get impatient. Don't allow an impatient spirit to come upon you when God's doing something, okay? Don't do that. It's in the oven. Let it bake. Don't try to open the oven and try to look at it. One time I learned this early in my marriage. I wish somebody would have told me not to do this, but I did it. You know, I was coming home from work. Kat had some concoction baking in the oven. It was some kind of like bundt cake upside down. Well, I didn't know what kind of cake it was, but when I opened the oven, it turned into an upside down cake because it just went and she heard me do it. I smell, you know, you smell it. And we didn't have a light on. We had an old oven that back then. And she, as soon as she knew, how did she know that I actually opened the oven door when she was sitting in the living room and I was in the kitchen? Women have ways of finding stuff out. How does that work? Where were you guys 29 years ago? So I opened up the door and Kat goes, don't open that door. Why? It's not done. It's not done. It's not done. Oh, now she has to start over. You know how many times I did that? One time. Some things you only have to do once. Don't do it. Be patient. If God plants a seed, don't try to rush it, right? Scripture says God's slowness is not how we perceive slowness, right? We give off, so we have tithe, that's sowing. That's a way of sowing. We have offerings, Road to Emmaus Conference, you give that. That's an offering. So there's tithe, there's offering. In November, we have His Little Feet coming. Remember, Children of the World? Didn't you love those kids? They're coming in. It's like them, but they're going to be here in November. It's called His Little Feet. Same type of group. We love pouring into that. You know, we've planted seeds in those kids. I think first or second group that was here, Allison's and Dave. Allison's and Dan were our two kids. They were 10 years old when they came here. We planted seeds. They said when they came to Abundant Life, they went to 48 or 50 different places all over the United States. They said, something was different when we came to Abundant Life. We can't ever forget you guys. And to this day, I'm still in contact with both of them. They're 24 years old now, 23, 24. And I've been planting seeds. You know, Alson's needed a computer for college. They're dirt poor. Alson's lives in Toledo in the Philippines. And in his money, it was like $159,000 of their money. Our money, it was like $220. I said, Alson's, I want to get you a computer. How much is it? I didn't care how much it was. You know, I PayPal'd him the money. He bought it. I planted the seed. Now he's in an engineering program. He's sending me on his computer screen, you know, Uncle Mark. They call you Uncle Mark, Auntie Kat. Look what's happening. I have Dan, who's from Uganda. Almost every Wednesday, he'll FaceTime me, and we have a video chat. Why? I planted seeds, and those seeds are literally growing in them. You know, they can't wait to come back here, you know. Dan said, I want to come back to the church. He goes, show me inside the church again. And I'm showing him with my phone. He goes, I remember. There were seeds planted when those guys were little kids. I had him on my back at the Campfield Fair. And he said, now I think I could put you on my back. I don't think I could be on your back. I said, that's absolutely right. So I said, when you come back, we'll go to the Campfield Fair. I'll jump on your back, right? Because you would break mine. When we have, there's another way to plant seeds. Every month, first Sunday, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, the dollar offering goes to the food pantry, right? And so you come up, you drop $1 in. That's called alms. Alms is money that you give for somebody in immediate need. That's not, so you have tithe, that's a seed. You know, offerings, that's a seed. Alms, that's a seed. Now, it used to be this number. I think it might have changed a little bit. But back in the day when we started that, $1 dropped in that basket would purchase $15 of food. Somebody say seed. You plant that seed, you plant that. What's my $1 going to do? Oh, you come on a Wednesday when this food pantry is operating. It's incredible what they do. And you know, they don't just give them food. They're planting seeds. They're touching them. They're talking to them. That's planting seeds. How do you plant seeds? How do you do this, Pastor Mark? I hear, you know, one of my professors, Haddon Robinson, he used to say, when you preach the message, that you need to say, so what? Everybody say, so what? That was mean. Why did you say that to me? He said, how do I apply this? go about your life with the awareness of the fertile soil that's in front of you. Because you may be the only seed planter that ever comes in contact with that person. There was a time we were, I can't remember where we were. I think it was somewhere in Myrtle Beach or something. We're walking along the shoreline. There was this lady sitting on the bench with a little puppy, her little dog. It wasn't a puppy, it was an older dog, little dog, lap dog. I told Kat, ooh, let's go over to that lady. We need to talk to that lady. I wasn't thinking at the time because I didn't have this message. We need to plant a seed. We went over and talked to her. Remember that cat, lady with the dog? And we started talking to her. I said, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm really sad. I've had my dog 12, 13 years, and I have to put her down. She's everything I have. This is my dog, and da-da-da-da. And what did we do? We took our words, which were seeds, and Kat said, can we pray for you? You know, I have never asked somebody if I could pray for them, and they said no. Personally, that's never happened to me. So we started praying for that lady. Remember that, Kat? And there was soil. Ooh, here. Be awareness of a need. How about this? Where do you plant a seed where there's a need? That was really good, Pastor Mark. I should write that down. Where there's a need, I need to plant a seed. You have to be aware of the fertile soil that's around you. Don't be afraid to plant the seed, right? Because here's what happens. Luke 6:38. Let's read. Let's get woken up here real quick. Here we go. Read. Give, and it will be given to you. Read. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the same measure that you use it, it'll be measured back to you. How are you measuring your seed principle? Well, however you measure it, that's what you're going to get. You reap what you sow. If you're not sowing, it's impossible to reap. Somebody say the seed principle. Proverbs 11, 24, 25 says this. One gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. A generous soul will prosper. Read the last part with me. And he who refreshes others will himself be. Wow. It's the seed principle. If you want to be refreshed, go refresh somebody. If you're feeling unloved, go love somebody. If you feel like you don't have friends, go find a friend. If you feel like nobody's talking to you, I walked into church, nobody shook my hand, nobody talked. Oh, what did you do? Well, then you go do that. There's the need. You may have the need yourself. So sometimes you may need to plant your own seed. David said, I anoint myself. David said, there's times where nobody's around. I have to get that oil bottle out and anoint myself. I got to do it. The seed, it's a seed. And that thing will grow and multiply. We have to get the revelation on seeds. Life is in the seed. And here's the thing that's kind of crazy. So you have an acorn, right? Inside that acorn is the trunk, the limbs, the leaves, and even hundreds of other acorns. Everything is inside that seed. Now, if I'm holding the seed, it might look dead. It's like, what is this thing? Did you ever pick up an acorn? You look at it. So does it look like a living thing? No, it looks dead. It's a hard shell case thing, right? But everything to produce the tree is inside that little seed. You don't realize the impact and what could grow by you simply planting this little seed. And when you plant that seed, the thing will grow. Why? We don't understand totally. I can't understand how that's all in there. You know, if you look at a kernel of corn, you know, to make popcorn, inside every kernel of corn, there's one drop of water. Now, on the outside, how many of you have ever just taken a bunch of popcorn out of the jar, just the kernels, and went, here, honey, have some.
You can't do that. Why? It's too hard, right? What has to happen? When you put that in the microwave, that drop of water heats up. And when it heats up, there's an internal pressure that happens that causes that kernel of corn to pop inside out. And now it's white, fluffy, and edible. That's what happens. That's how a seed works. You know, when the scripture says, if you have the faith like a grain of mustard seed in the original, in if you look at the Greek, like as or pertaining to the nature of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and it'll be cast in the sea. It's not the fact that it's small. It's the fact of what's inside that seed, the potential of it. And it says, even in that little seed, once it goes to the ground and dies, it pops up. Here's this tree. Even birds will make its nest in it and use it for shade. Right. Out of this little thing, little old me, what am I going to do? What kind of impact am I going to have on the world? Well, guess what? It's big, especially now. The fields are white unto harvest. They are more white now than I've ever seen them in my life, especially now. And we're going to see something coming up here. Are you with me? We're going to skip some. Let's go to this. Let's go to Mark 4. I told Kat we might end by noon and have pie and chicken and lunch by noon, and we're going to be happy. Mark 4. Maybe not. Mark 4. Are we there? Okay, let's read. Jesus said this. Read. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Read, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seeds sprout and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. Read that again. But he does not understand how it happens. Read, the earth produces the crops on its own. First, the leaf blade pushes through. Read, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes, read, and harvests it with a sickle. Somebody say sickle. For the harvest time has come. In Revelation 14, 15, it says this in New King James. You will read about these, you're going to read about all these angels in there carrying around sickles. There's a bunch of angels that like to carry sickles with them, right? You're going to see that in there. It says, read with me. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice. Oh, what is the loud voice? Somebody say roar. That's the roar. It's not a whisper. He didn't whisper. It's a roar, right? And said what? To him who sat on the cloud, he says what? Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, I have a very good understanding of the hermeneutical principle of how the method of interpretation for the text that aims to understand the original meaning of the context. I know all that. I've studied that, okay? That said, I believe there's specific incidences in Scripture for specific time and people. However, there's oftentimes a godly principle or a kingdom principle that can be drawn from a verse and applied to our lives in the present situation. You believe that, right? Everybody say, thrust in your sickle and reap. Say that. In Saturday's men's prayer meeting, Pastor Shane's house, Pastor Jeff was praying, and he said, I know the word says that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And it hit me, and I said, he said, because it seems like there's a lot of laborers. And I said in the meeting, I'd like to suggest that if God says the laborers are few, that doesn't mean that he intends it to stay that way. Could it be when he says the laborers are few that he's actually asking for laborers? I would think so, right? I believe he's saying to the church, I created you seed-bearing. I commanded Adam and Eve right off the bat to go into all the world, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Pastor Ben talked about that. That concept is not limited to the reproduction of human beings. I believe it's a concept, a principal kingdom, a clarion call, the Great Commission for us to activate the seed principle, plant seeds, be a steward of the thing that's being produced,
of the planting, and at the right time, in the timing, thrust in the sickle and reap. I don't have this on the screen, but it says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, NIV. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness.
Wow.
So what? Well, here's the so what. Now I had this message a month ago. And this next verse now has a way deeper meaning to me than it did when I was taking notes. I followed Charlie Kirk for years. I was on Real America's Voice in the segment after him last year. He had a segment, and then I was right after him on Real America's Voice. It was incredible. I don't care if you're a Christian, a Muslim, an atheist, a Republican, a Democrat, Chinese, European, whatever you are, you've been affected by the seeds that Charlie Kirk has sown. Amen, amen. And I had this verse. Look at this verse. Look at this verse. And I had this verse, and I heard somebody comment on this, and it brought incredible revelation in regard to Scripture. John chapter 12. But Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be. Read that real loud. Say it. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Could you say that scripture again and say it in the realm that you're actually proclaiming this? Like you're riding through the town on a horse and you got your, you know, hear ye, right? Can we say it? Say it again. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be. Oh, Jesus is being glorified right now in ways that I have never seen it, even in my whole life. I've never seen all these people. Well, I'm an atheist, and some reason I felt like the need to show up in a church. Why am I even doing that? They don't even understand it because it's something that this seed has produced, right? Now, watch this next part. Here we go. Holy free holies. Listen to this. Listen. Read this out loud. Go. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When Charlie Kirk died, that seed within him is literally going into the ground, I think today, and it's already bearing much fruit. But when that seed in him literally died, oh my word, what it has produced and what it is producing and what it will continue to produce, because the seed principle of multiplication is happening right before our very eyes. There are now over 62,000 new chapters, 62,000 requests from high school, college students seeking to either join or start a new chapter. Somebody say, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, our part isn't just to be an onlooker and go, oh, wow, isn't that amazing? No. You know, the seed that you plant and the harvest that you reap is not just for you to reap. It's for others to get in. It says, thrust in the sickle and reap. We're in a season now, church, where it would be a travesty if we let this moment pass us by. It is so easy now to go out and just talk to people. Go find some people you don't know that you never talked to, some people you do know that you never talked to, some people that you do know that you thought you couldn't talk to, and plant seeds. Hey, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? You know, because words are spirit, and no human being is perfect this side of heaven. Don't ever try to be. You never will be. Everybody's imperfect. But God uses imperfect people to do incredibly perfect things for the kingdom. So, yeah, look at you. Oh, are you perfect? No. Good, perfect. You fit, you know?
Just like he said to Brother Mo, he said, God said, hey, Mo, what's in your hand? Mo said, a stick. Good, I'll use it. I'm going to use it. What's in your hand? I'd like your answer to be a seed. Hold out your hand like this. This is a spiritual activation, prophetic activation that God, did you hear the seeds coming? That's the sound. When you hear that sound, that's seeds coming down. Lord, would you put in our hands this morning seeds of righteousness that you want us to sow, Lord? Can we actually, Lord, can I say the scripture? I know the scripture says, hear my, send me. But can we say, hear my, Lord, plant me. Let me be a planter. I want to sow seeds this week, this month. And I'm feeling this is not going to be a one-time message. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us daily to be mindful of fertile soil, that we need to plant some seed. We don't have to try to put the whole tree in the ground. Oh, no, we plant, somebody else waters, but it's you, God, that's going to make this stuff happen. It's not by our might, not by our power, it's by your Spirit. Would you help us, Lord, to take these seeds and be seed planters in the name of Jesus? Jesus said, go into all the world, teach all nations, right? Check this out in Isaiah 40 as we land the plane. Isaiah 4:5 says this, read. Every valley, this is today. This is what's happening right now, and you're a part of it. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And what? Read this big. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He spoke it, you planted, he caused the increase. Oh, this is a season, church. You got to start planting. Go talk to people. Plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds. When you see people, you got to, I don't care if you've seen them 1,000 times in the last week, plant seed. What seed can I plant in this person? This person has a need. What human on the planet is need free? Nobody. You know, how many have needs? Do you have needs? Do you have something you need? No, okay, a few of you have needs, the rest of you are good to go. So even in services, you might say, you know, you might think of it this way, oh, she needs a hug. No, she needs a seed. I need to go plant a seed. You know, when you touch someone, that can plant seeds. When you do something good for somebody, that can plant seeds. When there are opportunities that come out where they say, hey, we have a lady in the church, you know, her house burned down, we got to go help her. Go. That's planting seeds. That's planting seeds. Somebody say the seed principle. There's so much more that we can't talk about. But are you in or are you out? Is she? No, I'm not talking to you guys. I was talking to Randy. Randy, are you in for 30 seconds? Can you be? Can I have a microphone? How many of you know? Thank you. You know, when you are in prayer, you're planting seeds. You know, what happens in Pastor Shane's basement on Saturday morning, that's seed planting. He's planting seeds, right? Those guys are praying. Those guys are praying for sometimes you guys, and you don't even know they're doing that. So if you want to plant seeds, pray. You know, how do you plant a seed? You go, oh God, I know this is an impossible situation. We had something that happened during worship two weeks ago, I believe it was. And Ian Chamberlain was staying. He's not here today. Or I would be embarrassing him with you. But you got to be embarrassed by yourself. Sorry. So he was standing there. And I said, if you're believing for something impossible, just start praying and thanking him for the impossibility. So Ian planted the seed and said, God, I have something that's impossible. And I'm not at liberty to say what that was here. But he came into the office and he said, Mark, I prayed that during the worship time, which I don't know, might have been 11:15, 11:20, I don't know what time it was. He said, And Sunday afternoon, I get a phone call, and that thing that was impossible literally manifested to become possible. What does that mean? Pray. If you don't pray, pray. You're planting seeds. You got to plant seeds. It's the seed principle, right? If you fast, fasting will plant seeds, right? Remember, we've always fasted, but sometimes it gets things, certain things that get magnified and we get our attention back. And how many of you remember that time when we were in a 40-day or whatever days? We didn't mandate the days, but you, how many of you fasted during that time? Was that last year or 2 years? When was that, Pastor Shane? 2 years ago?
Four.
Oh, my word. 4 years ago, we are getting old. Do you ever see little babies and they grow up? You know, when I saw the Jewel kids, I haven't seen them for a while. I'm like, they're little men and little women. How did that happen? Getting old, right? And I remember specifically a seed that was planted when somebody fasted and something manifested from that. And I want Randy to give us just a quick snippet of what happened when you were fasting and what happened because of that.
I guess it's that during the process of the 40-day fast, I was getting over myself, you know, not feeding myself physically like I would have, and spending that time drawing near to the Lord and Him asking me and me taking a look at what He had done in my life and really the testimony of who He was in my life and the blessings that have come from that. And so I was just in a place of ready to say yes to whatever he had for me, and that was to open my mouth and be willing to speak of those blessings and the goodness of walking with Him. And so then I did, and certain people came and asked certain things, but I think you're specifically speaking about EEC starting.
Yeah.
So that could be a really long story, but God's just good. And I said yes to talking about the goodness, and He gathered people, and we kept saying yes one step at a time. And now we're starting our fourth year here, and there's 28, 29 families that are doing life together, praying for each other, being church together, multi-denominations, and we gather here on Thursdays and do school together. So there's 120 some of us, I think, when we all
How many did
gather
it start
together.
With, do you remember?
I don't remember.
It was a small, yeah, but it grew.
Yeah,
is
every
it bigger?
Year.
It's how many
every
kids?
Year.
Maybe 120.
I think there's nine, I don't know, Larry might know the numbers better than
if
me.
They all showed up.
If they all showed up, I think it'd be 90-some. So you put the mamas in there, it's 120.
And that started, can we celebrate EEC and what God's doing with these kids? That came from a seed of fasting, you know. If you want to die, for some of you, fasting is kind of easy for me. There's times I can just not eat, but for some of you, it will kill you to miss a meal, right? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, maybe it would. Die. Maybe you need to die. Unless the seed goes into the ground and dies. I think that's even why water baptism is so important. It's the watery grave. We say, God, I'm already saved, but now I want to become fruitful. I want to bear fruit. Do you want to bear fruit? Do you want to be a fruit bearer? Well, how does that happen? That comes from, oh, thank you. I love kids that know what they're doing. Here we go, do it. Let's stand. Are you ready for an impartation? No? Okay. Oh, yes, okay. I wrote these down during men's prayer. This came to me Saturday morning. Today we call forth seeds of wholeness and health. Today I call forth seeds of evangelism that would be planted and grow.
Today we call forth seeds of truth where lies have been spoken. Lord, help us to plant seeds of truth that will germinate and grow and overtake the lies that have been spoken. We call forth seeds of righteousness where wrong and wickedness tried to rear its head. We call forth seeds of life where death has been spoken. We call forth seeds of wisdom to bring revelation where confusion has tried to take root. We call forth seeds of deliverance where captivity once ruled in power. We call forth seeds of spiritual fathers and mothers in this house to multiply. As Jabez prayed, "This is my prayer, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would indeed bless me. Enlarge my border, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil so that it does not hurt me." As the words of the great song says, "No limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. Stretch forth, break forth, release me." How's it end? Say it. "Enlarge my territory." Help us to seed sows of seeds of righteousness for your name's sake. We call for seeds of holiness where ungodly activity tried to prevail. We call for seeds of multiplication where division tried to grow. And Lord, we're the planter. You're the one that brings a harvest. So our response when we plant these seeds is, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I've proved you over and over. We've seen you move. We've seen you move the mountains, and we believe you can do it again." Because you do it again because the seed principle is multiplication. It's future. All in the seed. You'll know them by their fruit. You don't get fruit without planting the seed. And like I said earlier, this is not a one-time message. This is a message that I hope will be in our minds and in our hearts to become more aware of the fertile soil. Here's your homework. Look up, finish the message. Make this message better, because if you preach it to yourself, it'll be way better than what you heard me say. Look up seeds, words in Scripture. Look up the word seed. Look up the word planting. Look up the word harvesting. The fields are white under the harvest. Take your sickle, as the angel did. Thrust it in, because this is the hour that the Son of Man might be glorified. Aren't you glad he called you to be a harvester? Aren't you glad that he's given you the ability to plant seeds? Are you going to plant seeds this week? Plant seeds. Look for opportunities to plant seeds. Plant seeds. Plant seeds. Plant seeds. Plant seeds. And step back and watch what God can do. And when you see it, I think our response will be, "But say this,
'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
That's what he said in his word.
Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his
how I trust him, how I wasn't a jump around the church, hallelujah, off the chandelier message, but it's a mandate to sow. And I want Pastor Shane to say whatever he wants to say, but I feel like there's a sealing of this word over us to enact the seed principle every day, and however that looks like. And I want you to put the bookend on this message today, okay? Anything you want to say, anything you want to pray.
Desire that our lives, that this body, Lord, would be glorifying to you, that it would bring pleasure to you in your throne, Lord Jesus. And we know that the thing that you desire most, Lord, is family, God. Lord, your instruction to us is to go forth and produce disciples, Lord. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the seed principle, Lord. It's the seed principle that you've spoken to us in power, Lord Jesus, that you've empowered us into, Lord, that it's not us that has the ability to produce any life of ourselves, Lord, but it's only you in us, Jesus. You, Spirit, in us is producing life through us, Lord. And we know that if you are producing life in us and through us, Lord, that everything that we touch will be life. Lord, we release today the pressure and the stress of producing results, Lord Jesus. That we are satisfied with having only you, Lord Jesus. We're satisfying with being used by you, however that looks, God. So we're satisfied with being like Moses, who marched these people through the wilderness, who died on a mountain overlooking, Lord, knowing, Lord, that the promise will be fulfilled, Lord. That the seed will produce life in its season according to your will and according to your hand, Lord Jesus. But we choose today to walk in obedience to you, God. To offer ourselves to you, Lord, to offer our voice to you, God. To offer our money to you, Lord, our finances to you, our lives to you, God. We put it all we put everything across the table to yours. So it's all yours, Lord Jesus. We are yours, Lord, a living sacrifice. So use us as you will, Lord. Let it be you in us, Lord, not me speaking. Let it be you, Lord. We pray for divine opportunities, Lord, as you lead us out of this place and back into our life. God, we know that you have directed our steps, that we receive a word here in this place, Lord, but then from this place, you've directed us directly on mission into the places where you've desired for us and designed for us to release your seed, Lord.
Yeah.
Let it be glorifying to you, Jesus. Let it lift your name high. You would be honored and glorified, Lord, and at just the right time, when the fullness of the Gentile church, the fullness of your body has been brought to yourself, Lord, that you would come back to collect your inheritance, Jesus,
and that you would be satisfied with
the inheritance that has been produced from our lives and from this place, Jesus, all for your glory in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you need prayer, let's give the Lord a hand clap there, huh? If you need prayer, prayer team, you can come down. If you have a specific thing you need prayer for, we don't want you to leave. If you don't know Jesus, we want you to know this Jesus, this giver of life that we're talking about. Would you, if you need prayer, come forth. If not, freely, let's sing out this next part of the song.